Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. I also hold the keys of death and hell." Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In him who loved us and freed us from our sins by his own blood, Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Titles carry weight. They define roles, command respect, acknowledge achievement, and shape how we see someone's value and or authority. You are on this campus to gain a title, bachelor. That may be one of many of the titles to which you aspire. Maybe you've got plans for your life where after Bethany, you're going on and you're getting your doctorate. You're going to become a doctor. Maybe you have dreams of business success where you want to be the CEO of a company. Leaving the academic and professional field, maybe you have the desire for the title of wife or husband. Titles carry weight. They're important. They define our responsibilities, command respect, so forth. Jesus in our text uses three titles. He says, "I'm the first and the last, the living one." Those titles define Jesus' responsibility. They certainly command respect. They also show us how we are to see his value and authority. Now, we're in the Easter season, so one of those titles stands out maybe more than the other two. Jesus is the living one. Jesus claimed those titles in John's presence for a very specific reason: to take away fear. And so this morning we consider the theme, "The Living One Takes Away Fear." So our text tells us that John fell down at Jesus' feet as if he was a dead person, as if he was dead. What had happened up to that point? Well, the preceding verses to our text tell us that John was on Patmos on the Lord's Day, and then he went into a spiritual state. We don't know exactly what that meant, okay? But he was certainly able to see things that a person can't normally see. And he had heard someone talking behind him. And then chapter 1 tells us that he turned and he looked to see who was speaking to him. And verses 12 through 16 tell us, "I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like a son of man. He was clothed with a robe that reached to his feet, and around his chest he wore a gold sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool or like snow. His eyes were like blazing flames. His feet were like polished bronze being refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. He held seven stars in his right hand. A sharp two-edged sword was coming out of his mouth, and his face was shining as the sun shines in all its brightness. That's the image to which John turned and saw. The response was, "Fall on your face." John couldn't do anything else but simply collapse as if he was dead in the presence of this being. This being claimed the title Living One. And then he says, "I was dead." In the context of these verses, that's actually the surprising thing. This being of great majesty and glory, in whose presence John simply fell down as if he was dead. To say that he is the living one, that's not surprising. But to say that this one was dead, that's the shock. This one with this radiance and glory had once been dead. And we know why he died. This one who is in very nature God had to take on human flesh, had to become, as our text or those verses say, a son of man to rescue us from our sins. He had to bear the punishment of our guilt and to suffer what our sins demand. And so he died. He really died. But he is now the living one. He died and rose again. And through his death and resurrection, our text tells us that he has the keys of death and hell. And we're going to come back to that at the end of this sermon. But Jesus has obtained a victory over death, so that now death cannot harm him, cannot touch him. And he has the ultimate power over it. Now, if we were to look at our earthly lives, we're afraid of many things, but death is probably at the top of that list. I'm afraid of snakes, but it's mainly because they can kill you. I'm not necessarily afraid of a snake bite. I'm afraid of the result of that bite. And you can look at many things in your life that you're afraid of, and really at the heart of it is, I don't want to die. I'm afraid of death. And we're afraid of death not because it's the end of our earthly lives. We're afraid of death because of the judgment that gets rushed in after it. We're afraid of death because we know that our earthly lives have not been what they're supposed to be. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and we're afraid of what that means for the life after death. But Jesus comes to us. The living one comes to us and reaches out his hand and touches us and says, "Don't be afraid." And the idea of that command is that it's a continuing. Don't continue to live in fear. No longer be afraid. Because I'm the living one. I'm the first and the last. And I hold the keys of death and hell. There's a lot of things in this life that we're so uncertain of. So much in our life, we're not in control of it. We would like to play these games where we can plot out our life and we're going to control all the outcomes, but we don't have to live very long before we know that's just not true, right? We plot out our career and then one door after another closes. We can plan out our perfect health plan, and yet we still get struck with that disease. Or we suffer that injury. That uncertainty about our lives can cause much fear. Yet Jesus comes to us as the first and the last, so the one who is throughout time. He says, do not be afraid. I am the one in control. You don't have to fear because I've taken care of everything. You don't have to fear because I'm the one in control and I love you. I died for you. So you can relax and simply trust me. And Jesus has so much power because he is our God and our Savior that not even death, not even hell itself limits his power. Death is no barrier for Jesus, the living one. You can face your own death confident that Jesus can reach you there. You can go into the grave certain that Jesus will reach you there and one day call you back from it. Now, there's debate over the word that was translated hell by the EHV. It's Hades. And some would say that it simply means the grave. So the place of the dead, the unseen world. There's evidence that it could mean just hell, so the place of dead for unbelievers. But it could also be just the grave. Doesn't really matter. What a meaning you specifically assign it here. Even if you assign it hell, hell is no barrier for Jesus. He has already stormed the gates of hell and rescued sinners like you and me from our eternal destiny, the destiny that we deserve. So there is nothing that can stop Jesus reaching out, touching you, and taking away your fears. Because he's the living one. He's the one who loves you, died for you, has forgiven all of your sins, will come one day if you die and resurrect your body from the grave. And take you to be with him in heaven forever. So titles are weighty. And Jesus is the living one. May this living one touch you so that you're no longer afraid. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to suffer and die in our place and to rise triumphant from the grave. You have demonstrated that you have the keys of death and Hades. We pray that your titles would touch our hearts, that we would live confident of your love, confident that you will see us through all of life's difficulties until we're finally, safely with you in heaven. Bless us with your Spirit to these ends. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.